And speaking of meals, it reminds me of a story I heard of a young couple who invited their aging pastor to come and have dinner with them on a Sunday evening. And so he arrived, and they were they invited him in, gave him a seat at the table, and the dad and mom were in the kitchen getting things together. And so the pastor looked at the little boy at the table and said, "Well, what are we going to have for dinner tonight?" The little boy said, "We're having goat." "Goat? Why in the world do you think we're having goat?" "Well, on the way home from church this morning, Mama told Daddy, remember, we're having that old goat for dinner tonight." That one didn't have too good of wings on it, did it? It didn't fly too well. Are you ready for the word then? Okay. This morning I want to talk to you about tracing the fingerprints of God in your life. Tracing the fingerprints of God in your life. You know, it's amazing how infatuated not only the American culture is, but globally, that people are with true crime, whether it's film, TV shows, movies, podcast, printing industry, blog post. It's just amazing. About $2 trillion a year internationally spent around that. And if nothing else, it shows that people love mystery. They love being involved in trying to solve a mystery or putting the pieces of the puzzle together. We're fascinated by the dark places that human nature can take places, people, and the pain that some people have to endure. There's something about all that that people just dive into it, and it interests them. And there's a lot of stats about that. And so if you watch any of those types of programs, you know that fingerprints, DNA, those type of things often hold the clue to solve the mystery, to find the culprit, to bring justice for a hurting family. As we all are aware that no two individuals have the same fingerprint. Our DNA varies, and yet we're living in a time in history when they can diagnose our DNA and tell us what family tree we belong to. And so many crimes that have lain dormant for years and years and years are now being solved because of information found on genealogy sites and people sending in blood samples and saliva samples to 23andMe and those types of sites. And they're beginning to connect people with their family trees, and numbers of crimes have been solved. So people are intrigued by that. This morning I want to challenge you in a similar way to realize how much clarity comes to your life when you begin to identify the fingerprints of God in your life. You begin to trace those fingerprints at different times in your life and look back and see, you know what? That was God. He saw me through that. He helped me through that. He opened that door. He brought that blessing. He spared me from that. Tracing the fingerprints of God. Now, I'm going to do things a little differently this morning. I'm going to hammer you. Well, maybe that's not the right word. I'm going to just wash over you by reading some scriptures. And one thing that these scriptures have in common, it's the revelation of the truth that God is doing something in our life or desires to do something in our life. And we're going to begin in Philippians 1:3. Paul wrote and said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing," now notice this, "that he," reference to Jesus, "which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." As a believer, there was a time in your life when God began a good work in you. And you can count on God to be there with you to help bring it to pass until the day that Jesus comes back. Philippians 2:13, jumping into the next chapter, after Paul has told us about Jesus and the attitude that he has, he said, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Say this with me. It is God who's working in me to bring about his will and what pleases him. That's what the word says. That word works there is the English, where we get the English word energy. It's the Greek word energeo. It's the same, that same root word we find in the verse we just read, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will bring it to pass. Now here he says, it is God, literally God, who's energizing you to live a life that's pleasing to him and in alignment with his will. Sin and our flesh work together to release an energy, a negative energy, an energy that can destroy, that can tear apart, that can tear down, that can hurt, bring pain. Here we're told for the believer, God is at work in us, energizing us to live in a way that pleases him in accordance with his will. Here's the next stage. The lights over your head, there are wires that are running up the wall and into the ceiling, down into those lights. Energy comes, but when it hits the light bulb, it lights up the room. Similarly, in this passage, it is God who works in you, both the will and do according to his good, what pleases him. It goes on to say that we're living in a wicked and perverse generation, but he's the one who makes us shine as lights in the world. There is a power source, a spiritual resource God makes available to us through the Holy Spirit so that we can live a life that pleases him. I'm going to move on to Acts 17:26, one of my top 25 favorite passages. 17:26, when Paul is preaching at Mars Hill to philosophers, building a bridge to connect with them, a few of them came to know the Lord. That's good news. It says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth." A reference of the first man he made in the garden, Adam, and how that all other men now, in a sense, proceed from the loins of Adam. And because Adam sinned, sin, that nature has been passed on to us through Adam. From one blood, he's made all, one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined, notice this, he, that is God, has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, and it goes on from there. Before you ever arrived, God was at work bringing about your arrival. The parents you were born to was not a mistake. The country you were born in was not a mistake. Biblically speaking, God was at work even in your mother's womb, forming your members. Even before that, God knew you would come. And his hope is that everyone that's born in this world would seek him, come to know him. But notice this established sovereignty of God. He predetermined the times and the boundaries. That speaks of how God steps into time at certain times, intervenes. That God, you know, we have borders and boundaries, but technically God, the law of first rights belongs to God. It's all his. He can change the boundaries and borders. He can do all that anytime he wants to. He predetermined when you would be born, where you would be born, to whom you would be born, all with the goal of you seeking him. That's what Paul is saying. He goes on to quote one of their poets and says, "In him we live, we have life, We move. We're able to go to and fro. You know, we may be born in one place, but you can go to another place and have our being, live our lives. Paul is just basically driving a nail and saying, the original source is God, and we are accountable to Him. These unknown gods that you are making these statues to, red X those. The true and living God is the one that gave you a life so that you can live truly for Him. And so that's a powerful passage. Then, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined, that means to be given a destiny ahead of time, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ultimately, God's plan was all of those who come to know Him. In Christ, God has already determined that it will be through Christ that we'll be conformed into the image of Christ. As the church, the bride of Christ, we now represent Christ to the world. Powerful passage to know that God is, no matter what you're going through this morning, this is a promise you can hang your hat on. God is at work, working it all together for good. Doesn't mean everything's good. It just means God has the power to rise above even the bad, the ugly, the evil, all of that, and work in your life to bring about good. Ephesians 2:10, a declaration of Paul, for we are, that is speaking of God, His workmanship. He's the master craftsman. We're the piece of wood that He's working on, if you will. For we are His workmanship, how? Created, again, in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works. What works? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Very simple. I'm moving fast, but stay with me. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, another one. He who calls you is faithful. Who, that is He, also will do it. God's not going to bail out on you. His gifts and callings are without repentance. He who calls you is faithful. Don't allow anything to move you away from God, even your unfaithfulness. Don't allow the weight of your own unfaithfulness to get you in a place where you can no longer believe He's faithful. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. Now, Revelation 22, we're almost with reading these scriptures. Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, and behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Notice we read, it is God for the believer. It is God who's at work in us. He who begun a good work in us will bring it to completion. He's prepared them ahead of time for us to walk in them. Now we're saying we're responsible for how we live this out. In that Philippians passage, the verse before that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and do according to His good pleasure. So we have to learn to work out what God's worked in us, to walk it out, to live it out, to act it out, to apply it. He goes on to say here, Jesus, and this came in our worship a few times this morning, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Even the divine name, I Am, literally means I am the God who continues to be, who I have always been. So the Lord is speaking to us today that in His majesty, how great He is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, yet He engages Himself in our lives. What an incredible, awesome privilege and honor that is for us, and responsibility. Now, Revelation 22:17, who's this for? Well, you say, well, I'm not a believer, so how can I claim these? Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. No one in the room should leave with hopelessness. No one in the room has to feel left out. No one in the room has to leave today and not be able to stand on these promises we've just read without the realization that God is involved and wants to be involved in your life. So, when we talk about tracing the fingerprints of God, if you will bear with me, I'm going to say four things the same. I'm going to say the same thing four ways, basically. But this is kind of like you're looking at truth, but we're going to look at through this window, then this window, then this window, and this window, just to drive it home. All right? We find God's fingerprints in our beginnings and endings. He declared himself to be the beginning and the end. He's always existed. There's never been a time when God did not exist. He is eternal. That's the nature of eternal. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He was God when it all started. He's God forever. So, we apply this to our beginnings and our endings. When you were born, I've already mentioned this, God formed you in your mother's womb. And sometimes people can think themselves into a funk. Well, if I'd just been born somewhere else or another time, oh, I wish I was born back, name the time frame. But see, we've already seen that God was behind all of that. He gives life. Now, He chooses through the union of a man and a woman, ideally in the confines of marriage, to conceive and bring forth a child. But that life, that seed, that egg, God is involved, ordained that whole process. It comes from Him. He's the living God. He's the source and fountainhead of all life. And so it is in our beginnings. The Bible tells us, and I want to say this very personally, you, each and every one of you, are made in the image of God. Now, our sinful nature may blur and mar that image, but you are here because there was a point in time when God formed a man out of the dust of the ground and made that man in His own likeness, in His own image. God, who is Spirit, placed of His Spirit into that man and gave that man a material body. And he was to be the governor of this earth that God had created, this material world, this ball of dirt, if you will, and rock. And he put man on it to bear his likeness in the realm of earth and to have a governorship under the government of God. And man messed that up. But all human beings are made in the image of God. Every human being has intrinsic value because they're made in the image of God. This is one reason that a professing Christian who believes the Scripture cannot, in unwarranted fashion, snuff out the life of a child in its mother's womb. That person is interfering with the creative activity of God, the design of God. It violates the way that God created the human family to operate, to live, to guard, have a guardianship over life. I remember the service a number of years ago when God spoke to me, because many of you know my testimony that when I was born, my mother began to hemorrhage, and she basically had an out-of-body of experience. They were working feverishly to try to save her life. I was born by cesarean section. The her umbilical cord was wrapped multiple times around my neck. And so while she was straining to give me birth, I was like hanging on a noose. And the doctor pronounced me dead. They tried feverishly to work with me, but I was set aside, pronounced as dead, and they tried to save my mama. And then the doctor later told my mom, who survived, of course, that I was by myself laying in the little bassinet gurney thing over there for 10 to 15 minutes. And then a nurse came over there to clean me up, clean my body up and everything. And as she rubbed on me everything, I revived. And so my parents were told I would never walk, I would never talk, I would be a vegetable all the days of my life. And so I grew up with my dad and mom telling me, you know, you're our miracle child. Basically, God spared your life, and I believe that. But after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, several months later, I was in another service and had an experience where the Lord came upon me, and I was literally laying in the floor, just basking in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord spoke powerfully to me. And he said, when you were born, death had you by the neck, and I made it let you go. And now I have you by the neck, and I'll never let you go. So that was such an encouraging word for me. And I remember that at times, of God's faithfulness to me. I can't say I've always been faithful to him, and neither can you. I don't think there's much difference between any of us in that regard. But we can all say, God is faithful to me. He's faithful to me. From your first breath to right now, you can say, God has been faithful. You're still breathing. You're still here. But I don't know God. I've never served God. Well, you're hearing about it this morning, and you can start this day. And you can step into what God's always wanted you to have, what God's waiting to give you. But he so designed us with a will that it's whosoever will. He won't force you. He won't coerce you. He won't make you. He invites you. He will woo you. He will challenge you. He will convict you. But at the end of the day, it is whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you call on him, you know it's him that saved you. You know it was him who convicted you. You know it's him that spared you until that moment. Neither you nor I can put all that together in a way that's going to satisfy all theologians. But it's the truth. What we need to focus on is the faithfulness of God and the love of God. And we don't need to be telling anybody, oh, it's too late for you. You can't be saved. Whosoever will. Beginnings and endings are time in our life. And we can look back and see the fingerprints of God. And I just encourage you to do that as we step into Thanksgiving week. And usually that means we may have a little bit of time to ourselves. Or there may be some folks that you're gathering that, I mean, you may just love all of them dearly, and some of them, let me just learn to start to see, God, what are you doing? God, what do you want? How can you change me so that this doesn't happen to me when we get close to these gatherings? How can you help me, Lord, so that I don't start shutting down during the holiday season? How can you help me, Lord, to see things more clearly? Because see, dear friend, it is God who's working in you, both in will and to do what pleases him. Cooperate with that. Deep inside, every person, deep, deep down inside, the Bible says God has put eternity in our hearts. And as you've heard it said, and I repeat it now, every person has that God-shaped vacuum deep inside of them that only God can fill. An old Scottish writer by the name of Bruce Marshall wrote and said that every young man who rings the bell at a brothel door is really looking for God. Now, what he meant by that is we have these deep longings deep inside, and we try everything on earth to satisfy this craving, satisfy this desire, satisfy this longing. Substitutes. Just wanting that intimacy to know that I'm truly loved, I'm truly valued, that I mean something to someone. Dear friend, it's God and only God that can fully fulfill that part of you. That's the deep in you calling to the reality of the deep that's only found in Him. Beginnings and endings are where we need to begin to look for God's fingerprints. Are you praying for your family line, where you came from? Or did you hit the road and red X them and say, I'm on my own now, I'm glad to get away from that? And in the natural, sometimes there may be, yes, I'm glad you're not under that kind of situation any longer. But the Lord didn't bring you out to lead them out. He brought you out, at least through your intercessory prayer, to bring them in. So, Jesus, look at what He went through to bring us in. We were all red-X'd. And yet God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Let's talk about another one. Successes and failures. That's another good area to kind of look for the fingerprints of God and your successes and failures. Now, the successes, if we don't see God's blessing as responsible for our successes, then we're in pride. We're getting the glory, or someone else is getting the glory. That doesn't mean you can't thank people who helped open the door for you or whatever, but ultimately you thank God that He worked through that person to open that door for you. You thank God that He gave you the ability that was recognized to enable you to do what you do. Now, I like many of you, I like to watch some good football games. And I've noticed a big change in the course of my lifetime. A lot of times now, you know, used to, it was just every now and then when somebody scored a touchdown, they would like, you know, do something like this or get excited. But now, if somebody makes a tackle, they jump up and they do a Superman. Beat their chest, you know. And we all know what that means, you know, like, hey, I got him. I took him out. They don't do that on the play before where they completely missed a tackle or dropped a pass or whatever, you know. But that, you just see that a lot. But occasionally, you'll see someone that'll, you know, they'll make a touchdown or do something spectacular, and they go down to their knee and they go, completely different message. And football games, I think we understand all that. But there's a sense in which everything in our life, when there's some type of success, do we acknowledge Him? Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. As Nikki shared this past Wednesday night, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So it's important for us to make the connection between the good things that happen in our life and the blessings that come into our life and the advancements that come into our life and the promotions that come into our life and the successes that come into our life, the children that God gives us, the spouse God gives us, the family, to the job, to the place we live, and today to have a warm coat on and so forth, to recognize ultimately those things are coming into our life because of the goodness of God. Our successes. And our failures, how do you look for God's fingerprint in your failures? Because it's in your failure that you find forgiveness, that you find cleansing, that you find wholeness, that you find restoration. He is the God of our successes and our failures. It's so good to know that God can use and work through the worst man does to bring about the best that man can have. That's the message of the cross. The worst that man does, exchange for the best that man can have. That's the message of the cross. That's redemption. And a couple of things. When we're faced with a failure in our life, there's different ways that can go. We can wholesale, like, what's it matter now? It's all done, and just dive deep into sin. Like, no hope now, and just go deeper and deeper and deeper. Some people do that. Or we can try to fix it ourselves. Ignore, act like it didn't happen, or shift and blame others. Or we can repent and humble ourselves before the Lord and gain understanding of the power of the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus. Learn from our mistakes. Learn from our failures. And not only failures, but learn from the bad things that come our way or happen to us that may have even been generated by something someone else has done. But at the end of the day, when there's failures and when there's chaos and when there's pain and hurt and woundedness, learn to identify the fingerprints of God. What's God wanting to do now? We can get into the worry loop, or we can get into the reflection loop where you just constantly play it over and over and over again. The scenes are over and over. Or we can learn and hear what God is saying, be made stronger, and then step back into the destiny and the plans that God has for us. Aren't you grateful that God can reroute us? And we all know how that works when we're out in our car or truck and we miss a turn or there's a roadblock and we have to, well, we know where we're wanting to go and this is the way we know we need to go. But then on the way we realize, whoops, can't go this way anymore. And so we turn and we get rerouted and it takes us a different route but to the same destination. God does that many times in our lives. Well, you thought this was going to happen, but another person got that job. But you felt like you had a strong word that God was going to promote you and you were going to be doing that. Well, maybe you're in a reroute. And maybe it's going to take longer than you thought it would. Or maybe you didn't realize it, but yeah, it's that kind of job, but not at that company. God has something better for you. Continue to believe that God is faithful. The right thing to do is the next right thing. And just do that. Keep your eyes on God. And see His fingerprints at work. Otherwise, disappointment or disillusionment or discouragement, those three big D guys. Disillusionment, disappointment, and discouragement can get you into a wrong place. And You can waste days and months and weeks and years of your life. Look for God's fingerprints. What's God saying? What's God doing? Do some reflection back on times in your life, that were really hard. Well, what has God done since then? How did you see God navigate you through that? What are the good things that have happened? So important for us to understand this. Successes and failures. I visited with a businessman. This was a while back. I went into his office. We sat down. We started talking. And while I'm talking to him, I started seeing some things in my head, and the Bible would call these like words of knowledge. Sometimes the Lord may give you little snapshots that just come out of nowhere. You weren't thinking about it. you feel like you're in a good place with the Lord, you're open to the Holy Spirit, but boom, here it comes. And, of course, you discern, of course, but I saw something and I heard something. And what I saw was a waterfall, just a waterfall, you know, falling over the high place and just hitting the water, and, you know, it was like this. And I heard the words woundedness and rejection. Well, I understand woundedness and rejection, but I did not understand what a waterfall was. And so we're conversing while this is happening. I mean, I'm seeing this in the middle of conversation. And so finally I said, well, can I share something with you? I just feel like the Lord's wanting me to share this with you about, you know, you've really been wounded and gone through some rejection. And for some reason, I'm seeing a waterfall. And his mouth dropped open. He said, well, when I was 8 years of age, I went off swimming by myself down close to where I live. There was a waterfall. And I got in under that thing, and I was literally drowning. I couldn't get up. I couldn't get out. And a man and woman just happened by and came into that water and rescued me. And then he began to share of how he had been in the ministry a number of years early, actually had pastored a church, how he had been deeply wounded and rejected. And while he's saying that, I'm seeing another picture of a person with a noose around their neck, and I just see the name Judas. And I thought, as he's saying, I said, I can see where that, and I said, and I really feel like there was some type of deep betrayal that you face. And he began to open up, and it just became a sweet, precious time of ministry. And the word of the Lord came to him that just as even now, I'm about to bring you up and out again. And he was really, really encouraged. This was somebody I didn't spend a lot of time with or know well. It just was one of those happenstance meetings. But I know God really blessed that man that day. And it had to do with some of his successes that he shared about, but around this failure, and also around the fact of a time when God spared him, used him in ministry, and he thought it was all over. And when I just said he thought it was all over, I feel like that was like a spear in a couple of people's hearts here this morning. Because that's how you feel. You thought it's all over. And I want to tell you, it's not. It's not. It is not. Because with God, all things are possible. And faithful is he who's called you, who also will do it. It's God working in you right now to bring you to the place where you'll do his will and do what pleases him. He's working. He's going to work it. He is working all things together for good. Just know that in your successes and your failures. Also, directions and corrections, same thing. Like I told you, I'm just telling you the same thing four different ways. Directions and corrections you go through. Very, very similar line of thought. Sometimes you go through seasons when you're unsettled and uncomfortable. And usually, it's one of three things. You're being harassed by the devil, or things are beginning to stir and unsettle because there's a change coming in your life, or there's some attitudes, beliefs, or behavior in your life that God's wanting to deal with that's keeping you from moving forward. Sometimes people just get stuck. And God has his methods that he uses to get us unstuck. I read of where Mama Eagle, you know, she builds big old nests. Some of you have seen them. Some of you may have one near your house because we're getting more eagles in our area. Big nest, big sticks. They'll bring leaves and sometimes the fur from animals they've killed. And they'll line that nest and make it cushy and soft for those eggs to rest upon. Then those eggs, when they're hatched, got the little eagles. And they're in that cush, comfortable, just like your babies. My goodness, before the baby gets here, you start painting, you start buying furniture, and then everything. You know, we surround our babies with all these things. They won't have a clue what they are until about 5 years old. But we just want to make it sweet and soft and smooth for them. Same way with the mama eagle. Those eagles started, you know, mama will go catch us something and she'll regurgitate it up and feed those babies. But to speed this up, there eventually comes a time when those eagles they get a little bigger and they start moving their wings around, and now the nest is getting crowded and it's getting stinky, and mama eagle, knowing the time is close when they're going to have to get on the edge of that nest and learn to fly. But that's going to be a hard thing for them to do. So she starts pulling out the fluff, throwing outside the nest, the leaves, the soft stuff, the skins, the fur, throws it out. And now it's just these sharp ends of sticks. And when they try to sit down, it's just really uncomfortable. And then all their siblings, it's just real crowded. All of a sudden, what's been a place where they've been so comfortable and so fed, and now it's very uncomfortable. And they're being moved to a time to soar. And there will come a day when mama just grab them, take them way up, and let them go. Rinse and repeat until they start flying. We go through those seasons in our life where things start changing. And we can make some mistakes. You know, like the other eagles in the nest, you know, I used to love them, but I don't know about now, you know. And sometimes we can start thinking they're the problem, but really all that's happening is we're being repositioned. And we need to see God's fingerprints at work and identify that. Lord, what do you want to change in me? Or Lord, you got something else for me? And that can happen. How can I say this for it not to be taken the wrong way? This doesn't happen in changing covenant relationships. Well, I'm tired of this husband. Or I'm tired of her. No, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about in order for you to advance in the kingdom to what God has for you, sometimes a job may change. You may move work for education to work. And it could be a million different things. Fill in the blank. But it's God directing our lives. And often he can use circumstances to begin to... Sometimes your stream may dry up. Sometimes you may go, oh, I'm just not getting fed. Well, see, and sometimes you're in a nest where you're just getting milk and you need to learn to get into the meat. Lots of different things can happen, but it has to do with directions and corrections. And God's usually doing some of both when one is happening. And that brings me to the last thing. No, I'm going to go back to the beginning. Beginnings, endings, successes, failures, directions, corrections, opportunities, and obstacles. Opportunity and obstacles. Again, saying the same thing four different ways. These two particularly seem to travel together. When you learn to know that God's at work in your life, he's working all things together to good, whatever the obstacle is, God's not caught off guard. He's not surprised by it. So you begin to realize this is an obstacle, but that means in that obstacle, there's going to be some opportunities for me. And likewise, when you see an opportunity, there's going to be some obstacles in the opportunity. To seize the opportunity, there's usually obstacles you got to overcome. To overcome the obstacle, you need to see the opportunity that the obstacle presents to you. superimposed over all that, God's at work. I'm walking with God. God's walking with me. God is for me. God's not against me. God's at work in my life. He's working it together for good. He's going to be faithful to bring me to my destiny. And we go through all kinds of seasons. We face all kinds of obstacles. But often the obstacle becomes a place where promise can be claimed. My understanding is, you know, Velcro's awesome. I mean, Velcro, it's just amazing how wonderful Velcro is. My understanding is that Velcro came to us because of some guy that got so tired, sick and tired of picking kookaburras out of his socks when he'd go out in the field. And he got to notice how those kookaburras would stick to that material. And he invented Velcro. It was in the middle of an obstacle that he got his innovative idea for Velcro. And I imagine that guy's doing pretty well now, financially speaking. But it's how you look at your obstacle. Yes, there's times it's the devil and you need to rebuke the devil. But even in that, there may be an opportunity. When you know that God never leaves you and God never forsakes you. You will either have a victory mentality or a defeat mentality. And if you can learn to see God's hand upon your life, look for God's fingerprints, and live with that awareness, then you're going to have more of a victory mentality. Because we overcome the world through our faith. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. We have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to have that victory mentality. We may be down, but we're not out. When there seems to be no way, there is a way. Because He makes a way when there seems to be no way. He's the God that does the impossible. You're going to either have the victory mentality or the defeat mentality. And sometimes the words you use, the way you assess situations, the emotions that are stirred when you're dealing with it, lets you know where you're operating from. It's interesting in that Philippians passage about God who works in you, both to will and do according to His good pleasure. Next verse. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. You see, our attitudes reveal where we're camping out. Victory or defeat? Are we seeing God's fingerprints? Or are we magnifying something the devil's doing? Or are we caving into our own fleshly desires? And I'm telling you, there's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice right now that the hand of God has not been on your life in some way. Even if you don't know Him, you're still here. And you better thank God for that, as we all should. I believe that you are here this morning. Even the person that doesn't know the Lord, you're not a Christian. You are here in the house of God. You are hearing the Word of God. That's God working in your life. Why? That you might know Him. That you might know Him. And I pray that you'd give your life to Him today. While I've been up here, I've been seeing a few things, and I want to share those with you. And our worship team's coming. I just ask the Holy Spirit to demonstrate. If you're here this morning, maybe you're a little skeptical or a little cynical. Even as believers, sometimes you can be that way. It's so important for you to know that life is so much more spiritual than you realize, that God is so much more involved in your daily life than you could ever imagine. Even when you sleep, He doesn't sleep and He doesn't slumber. I want to ask you to stand with me. Holy Spirit, right now, we just say, have your way in this room, in this atmosphere. I pray, Lord, that you would be honored, you'd be magnified. We declare, Jesus, you are the Lord of life. You are the one with whom we have to do. You are the beginning, you are the ending. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega. And we bless you, Father. King of our hearts, Lord Jesus, we bless you. Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you to have your way. In Jesus' name. All right, if I could have your attention this way for just a moment. There's a young lady over here that you have the purple top on. I feel, and you weigh this, but I feel like the Lord, I've seen this passage come up that where the Lord gives the for mourning, he gives us dancing. For heaviness, he gives us the oil of gladness. And it's like, it's just like I've seen this big rock, but you're behind it. And the Lord says, I'm bringing you out now. I'm bringing you out. And there's even the rock and that idea of that heaviness, sometimes it can be a spiritual thing that has been at work. The Lord says, that changes now. That the oil of gladness and joy is going to bubble up in your life. It's time for the delays to stop. And it's like a faucet being turned on. And the Lord says, you are where you need to be this morning. And I want you to know that I loved you. I have always loved you. My hand has been upon your life. And this day, as if taking a cloak of heaviness that's been draped upon you, I am taking that off. And I'm pouring the oil of gladness upon your life. And there'll be a song heard from your life. And sweet will be its words. And sweet will be its sound. And it will minister grace. And it will minister healing to those who hear those words and hear its sound. So I just bless you this morning. And I pray the Lord just wrap you in his arms and cradle you close and fill you with fullness, the fullness of his oil of gladness and joy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I just ask a couple of you just to draw near and just bless and minister to her, if you would. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Robert. The Lord said he's had you in a blender. It's like a blender. It's been all kind of good things he's been pouring in. And there's some things from your heritage, from your family line that you're carrying that's good from the past. And between that and where you are now, there was a time of being off the road and in the ditch. But this is a time when the Lord says, like putting things in a blender, I'm making a holy concoction, if you will. There's a holy thing I'm blending together in your life, and out of you will be the sound of freedom. The Lord says that you will have a strong influence on many people, and it will all be around the whole idea of freedom. He will use you as a chain breaker, as a chain breaker. And just as you hear the term chain smoker, where some people, you know, they take one out of their mouth to light up another one. You know, one out of their mouth to light up. The Lord says, no, not that. But you're going to be a chain breaker. You're going to help one find their freedom. And then no sooner has that one been helped that he's going to bring you to another that's going to find freedom. And another that's going to find freedom. Because you have a freedom in your heart. It's going to be a wellspring of joy and hope for many. So I'm calling you out today in the name of Jesus to strap on your boots and walk in the fullness of what God's ordained from you. And I just feel so good about what I feel right now and what I see that the Lord has for you. Now, I realize when any and all, when we get these words, sometimes it may mean tomorrow morning, and sometimes it may be a while. But you hang on to that, because this is where God is taking you and where you are heading. I believe this. You pray it. You discern it. But there's good things. So, you know, even the blending, there can be pain. You know, of having to let go of some things to make room for other things. That's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He's churning and burning, churning and burning, churning and burning. That might make a good rap song right there. Okay. Amen. Bless you. Bless you, Robert. Bless you, Robert. Bless you, Robert. Someone over in this area here is having a problem with your eyes. Who would that be? You're having some... Okay. All right. I just want you to hold up your hands right now. And we just declare healing right now in the name of Jesus. I declare Luke, what Jesus preached out of Isaiah 61. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is anointing me. And he went on to say to give recovery of sight to the blind. So God cares about eyes. And we as the body of Christ this morning, we say the Lord Jesus rules and reigns in this place, so the Spirit of the Lord is present. And we just declare healing over your eyes, healing over your vision, wellness and wholeness. And not just here, but if you're in the house, you step into this and receive it for you. I'm just being directed right here. I just pray in Jesus' name, healing. Be healed, dear brother, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our prayer team members are making their way forward right now. They're going to be in this altar area to pray with you, to minister to those of you that the Spirit of God may be speaking to. We are contending and believing for this to become a cancer-free zone. We want to believe for heavy-duty miracles. But on the path to seeing all that, we want to be faithful to what is given, right? Someone here, in your, on the left inside of your right ankle, you've been having a lot of pain, a lot of problems. I don't think this is just one of those, the pain every now and then. I mean, you're really having a problem with that. And I believe the Lord's wanting to touch you and heal you. I just encourage you to step out and come forward right now and receive healing for that. Just step on out and come forward right now. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and today's the day for you to become a Christian. You can have your sins forgiven today and give your life to the Lord. Just step where you are, out where you are, and come forward. If you haven't followed the Lord in baptism, I encourage you to come right now. You are commanded to follow the Lord into the waters of baptism. We encourage you to come today. And we will be having another baptism really soon. And we'll be preparing that. We would love to baptize you. We encourage you to come right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay. 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 There's, if you have... like right now, you're pretty nauseated. Right now, I want you to raise your hand. Right now in the room, if you're pretty nauseated. I'm talking about physically. You're just nauseated. Am I missing a hand? Okay. Where? Okay. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing right now. We command that away in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, we just thank you for your presence this morning. Okay, now let's open up the gates. If you're here This message is really centered on just really struggling and believing that God's working in your life. And that may be because of your identity. See, fingerprints have to do with identity, don't they? You don't feel valuable. Maybe you're wounded. You don't feel like you're worth much. There's rejection. You don't feel like that your life has much meaning. It can be all different levels in between this. I encourage you to come this morning. We're going to have a group prayer that be broken and you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, and you know the value that you have, your identity in Christ. I just encourage you to step out and come. If you're struggling in any level, any degree with that, you just step out and come as we begin to worship right now. And we're going to pray in just a moment. I know that may take a lot of courage, but I invite you to come. Let's seal this up today. Let's break this off today. In Jesus' name, would you come?
I am the Lord your God. I go before you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others who come?
So you feel I'm proud of it. I'm closer than your friend. I am with you. Wherever you go.
Others. I believe there's some more to come. He loves you so much. Name of Jesus. I lift up his name. I declare the power of the blood of Christ over this time of ministry. We come against every thought of lovelessness, every thought of abandonment, any and every way you have devalued yourself or someone else has devalued you, the words that have been spoken over you. We break the power of those thoughts. We break the power of those memories. We break the power of those words now. And we say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name, rejection be gone. Shame be gone. Be loose from it now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you pour in the oil of gladness, that there would be this deep abiding joy, this deep abiding peace, this deep abiding knowledge that we are loved, that we are loved. And I just ask you to declare with me, in Jesus' name, by the word of God, I know I am loved. Inform your own self, I am loved. By your spirit, inform your own life. I am loved. I am loved of God. I am called of God. I am chosen of God. I am sent forth by God. I am gifted of God. I'm surrounded by the angels of God. I am loved by my heavenly Father. And I am free. I am free from all rejection. In Jesus' name. Now let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom. 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 I also pray for any that are present this morning that you have felt stigmatized by a past failure. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a wrong behavior. It could have been an illegal activity. But you have felt branded and stigmatized in some way. I come before you, Father, and I pray for my friends, my brothers and sisters right now. It's just like the Lord pulling it out of you. By the hand of the Lord, it's pulling it out of you now. Pulling it out of you now. He's uprooting it now. It's like that a stigma with a hook in it, that harpoon. It's coming out now. In the name of the Lord, be loose from it. Be loose from it. Be loose from it. And I'm talking particularly to people, you've repented. It's like it's just lingered for some time. And you've repented and you know the Lord's forgiven you, but it's like that thing's in you. We're just pulling it out right now by the name of Jesus. Be loose from it. I can't tell you how strongly that I'm feeling this right now for some folks in this room. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all your sin. Be loose from that stigma, being stigmatized. Be loose from that in Jesus' name. You have been branded by the love of God. And whom He's forgiven is forgiven. So we declare freedom. We declare forgiveness and fullness of joy over your life this morning in Jesus' name. That's all. Have a blessed day.